Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Merry Christmas. Now, I'm so glad that you guys have chosen to make Verve a part of your Christmas week. My hope is that you would make Verve a part of every week and just one of your annual Christmas traditions to be a part of this. And, kind of like decorating the house or Christmas cookies or Christmas carols or Christmas stories, like the TV specials. You guys been watching any of those? My family's watched a few of those this last week or so, like A Christmas Story and Rudolph and the Grinch and Elf and just some great beloved holiday classics. But, you know, there are some not so beloved holiday classics, some stories that aren't quite so popular and you honestly probably would never choose to make a part of your annual holiday traditions. Do you guys want to hear the top 10 least popular Christmas stories? Yeah? All right. Here they are, the top 10 least popular Christmas stories. Number 10, Discovery Channel presents Elf Autopsy. You see where we're going with this? Not popular. Number 9, Rudolph, the Therapy Years. You knew it was going to happen for the poor guy. Number 8, Santa's 3-Day Eggnog Bender. Number 7, The Grinch, who sold Christmas on eBay. Number 6, Frosty, the anatomically correct snowman. Number 5, the gingerbread man who chewed off his own leg to get out of a bear trap. They're not popular, that's the point. Number 4, a holiday visit from Salmonella. Yes. Number 3, the Christmas that almost wasn't due to Santa's urinary tract infection. Number 2, the teddy bear who came to life and mauled a retail clerk. And the number 1, least popular Christmas story, the sweatiest angel. There they are, the top 10 least popular Christmas stories. All right. Well, I'm going to tell you a story. It's actually not a Christmas story, but it's a story from my life. And there is a point in the story where you are going to think, wow, Vince is impressively brilliant. But most of the story, you're going to be thinking, wow, Vince is an idiot, like colossally stupid, okay? I would ask you to maybe focus on the brilliant part of the story, but that choice is up to you. So this happened back in August, and one night we were going to grill steaks, and I decided to make a chimichurri sauce to go with the steaks. Now, I had never made a chimichurri sauce. I had never even tasted chimichurri sauce, but I had seen it made on food shows. Yes, I watch food shows. Me and the girls get together, do each other's nails, get recipes, that kind of thing. So I got the recipe, from one of the girls, and I was all excited. I'm gonna expand my cooking chops. I'm gonna get to taste chimichurri sauce for the first time. We're gonna have this great dinner. Totally excited. And so what you do is you get out your blender and you get some oil and some vinegar and a bunch of garlic and some parsley. Put it in, blend it up, chimichurri sauce. So I get all the ingredients, I put it all in the blender, and I start blending. But there was a problem, and the problem was that the parsley wasn't blending. It was kind of fluffed up too much at the top of the blender, not down by the blades. And so it's like, but it's not blending. And so I thought if I stop blending, then start blending, that it would kind of work its way down. So I was like, not blending. And so I thought, are you ready? This is the Vince is colossally stupid part of the story. I thought, well, if I just push the parsley down while I'm blending, it will get down closer to the blades and it will start working its way down there. And so I pushed the start button on the blender and just kind of gently pushed down. Still wasn't blending. And so I pushed down some more and I blended my finger. Now, I have cut my finger before with a knife, quite painful. I have hit my finger with a hammer, quite painful. But when you blend your finger, it has the best of both of those worlds of injuries, because you get the cutting of the knife with the speed and blunt force of the hammer. And so it's quite painful. If you want, we can pause here, and you could all say to me together in unison, Vince, you are colossally stupid. Because I can handle that. You guys want to do that? Ready? One, two, three. Vince, you are colossally stupid. Yes, that's true. I blend my finger, and I screamed. I mean, I shrieked like a little girl. Ah! And it was so intense, the pain of it was bad, that I thought, I'm going to faint. I really thought I was going to faint. And so, which sounded nice, actually, like to be able to escape the pain of the situation and let someone else figure out how to stop the bleeding that's pouring out of my finger. While I slept like a baby, you know, and they're figuring out what to do. And so the problem was that my wife was not home. And so it was just me and the two kids. And so I'm thinking, in my moment of absolute pain, okay, right in this moment, I am thinking, my kids are not going to be able to deal with this. You know, and if I faint, I'm going to like probably crack my head on the ground or on a counter going down. And now it's not just my finger that's bleeding. It's also my head that's bleeding. They're not going to know what to do. And by the way, this is the Vince is impressively brilliant part of this story. Okay, here it comes. I thought to myself, what I need to do is I had the presence of mind to dive to the floor in that moment. And I thought, so that way if I faint, I won't hit my head coming down. You know, I'll already be down on the ground. If you want, we can pause here and we can all say together in unison, Vince, you are impressively brilliant. I wouldn't mind. You guys want to do that? One, two, three. Vince, you are impressively brilliant. If you insist, yes. So I dove to the floor, didn't faint, and started yelling, kids, Band-Aids! Lots of Band-Aids! It's a gusher, kids! And what really stunk is that I started out so excited. You know, we're going to have this great night, this great dinner, and I end up laying on the floor in a pool of my own blood. And doesn't that just seem to be the way life goes? Doesn't it? You know, you start out so excited as a kid when you have the rest of your life in front of you. Or that first day when you make the team. Or when you go off to college. Or the day you get married. Or when you have your first kid. You start out so excited, but so often things don't go the way you planned on them going, right? And you end up not on this high that you were expecting, but low, kind of crushed and crashed down on the floor. It's the way it often goes, and not just for us individually, but also us corporately. I mean, you look around our city, with the crime, the unemployment, the stalled construction, tourists spending billions less every year, so there's less shifts to go around for working people, losing the rodeo last week and the $100 million it brings into our economy every year. You look around our nation, the fragile economy, people walking into schools and movie theaters and Navy bases with guns blazing, wars, threats of more to come. You look around our world, with its, countries in Europe going bankrupt or on the verge of it and threatening, international economy, wars, nuclear proliferation, upheavals, human trafficking. It's like the whole thing is just a broken mess. And you look around from your own life to the world and you wonder, is there any good news? Is there any good news anywhere? And we're here today because there is. We're here today because there is. And it's this. Love is still a gift. Love still defeats hate. Hope is still stronger than despair. There is a God who loves us. A God who still answers prayer. His forgiveness is still more powerful than our sin, and his guidance is still stronger than human confusion. And all of this is true because 2,000 years ago, a baby named Jesus was born. in a town called Bethlehem. And that baby grew up and proved that he was God. He was love who had come for us. You know, the problems in our lives and in this world will never cease. They won't. But his promises remain and are more certain than human fear. And what he promises is to be with us even when life is in upheaval. And he promises us an infinitely better future for those who choose it. There is good news today. There is. And the good news is not just reserved for people who have perfect lives, you know, who seem to have their lives all together. In fact, the good news is especially good news for people who have stuck their finger in a blender and are laying in a pool of their own blood on the floor. For people whose lives aren't going the way they had planned or hoped and who just don't seem to have it all together. You know, Christmas can be wonderful, great time, but Christmas can also hurt, right? For many, it's not a sense of joy that we move into Christmas with. It's a sense of loneliness. Maybe Christmas just reminds us of how alone we really are or how desperate we've been feeling all year. But the ironic thing is all the movies and the Christmas cards and the displays at the mall all seem to make Christmas out to be this ideal time, right? It's supposed to be perfect. And we have this nostalgia about Christmas. So we look back at Christmas's past, and what we do is we tend to ignore all the bad parts and just think every Christmas is always ideal. Until this Christmas, right? And then we move into each year thinking this is going to be another ideal Christmas. It's never been, but we think it will be. And then something always seems to happen, right? Kind of like this. Christmas can hurt. It can hurt, right? Christmas can hurt. And perhaps it's helpful for us to realize that Jesus did not come into a perfect world full of perfect people. You know, Jesus came into a broken world filled with broken people. In fact, that's why Jesus came. If the world was perfect, there would have been no reason for God to come to earth, but he came for a broken world filled with broken people. There's a great verse in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament of the Bible in a book called Psalm 34, verse 18. And it says this. It says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." And that's why Jesus came. Jesus is good news for hurting people. Part of the miracle of Jesus becoming human, being born, is that God himself was coming to earth to come close to the brokenhearted. And that is really good news if you're feeling broken this Christmas. Or maybe if there's a part of your life that's broken this Christmas. Maybe you're having some financial problems this year. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you're afraid of losing your home. Maybe you're just having trouble paying some of your bills. Do you know that when Jesus came to earth, he did not live in a mansion or a palace. He was actually born into a poor peasant family. The Bible says that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. He was poor. And so if you're having some financial problems this Christmas, Jesus knows exactly how you feel. Or maybe it's that you're feeling lonely, you know? And Christmas time can sometimes make it harder because it just reminds you of how alone you're feeling. Well, Jesus knows all about being alone. In fact, in his greatest moment of need, his greatest moment of crisis, all of his friends deserted him. One of his best friends, Judas, betrayed him. And when Jesus was on the cross, he said that he felt deserted even by his Father God. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus would say to you today, I know all about the pain of aloneness. Jesus is good news for lonely people. Or maybe you have family issues, you know? Perhaps your family isn't perfect. Or maybe you think your family is. You know, maybe some of you are like, no, I kind of have the perfect family. Like on December 25th, you're going to sit around this table with a bunch of people who you consider perfectly healthy, perfectly emotionally mature, well-adjusted, normal people. But researchers actually say that every single family has at least one maladjusted wacko. And so if you look around the table and can't figure out who that person is, it's you, okay? Just to get that straight. But maybe you realize, man, my family is not perfect. Well, maybe there's some brokenness or some disappointment with your family. A lot of people don't realize this. Jesus had a family. When Jesus lived here on earth, he had a family, and it was not perfect. Like, his family didn't always understand him or what he had come to do. After Jesus started his ministry, and he was out teaching people about God and ministering to their needs, we're told this in the Bible. We'll put it on the screen for you. It says, when his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. They thought he was out of his mind. Jesus knows all about dysfunctional families and family problems. And so Jesus is good news for you. Maybe 2013 has hit you with some other news. Perhaps you received a message from your spouse that just turned your world upside down. Or maybe this Christmas there's going to be an empty space at the Christmas dinner table representing someone you lost this year. Or maybe you got a diagnosis from a doctor that's really scary. Jesus understands all that. I mean, he died when he was only 33 years old. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Jesus knows all about rejection and failure and disappointment and pain and death. And the good news is that Jesus came for a broken world and for broken people like you and me. People who started out with such high hopes, so excited, but ended up in a really low place. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit, but only if you let him. Only if you let him. This year, I made a new friend, a guy named Jeff. Jeff drives a taxi And he's not a Christian, doesn't come to Verve. I met him outside of our church, pretty new to Vegas. And he moved here all excited about starting a new life here, and life was going to be so much better here. But he's actually gone through a really difficult time lately. He and I and my friend Mike, who comes here to Verve, is playing guitar today, we met one day at a Starbucks, and he told us that his lifelong best friend had committed suicide in the last year. And he had actually lost another friend just recently. And he was just going through all this stuff, and he didn't know what to do about it. And so we talked a lot. And in fact, the three of us continued to meet at that same Starbucks just week after week, just talking. And Mike and I shared with him about God and God's love for us. You know, we told him how God sent Jesus for us. That's what Christmas is all about, how Jesus came, and he was God's son who put on human flesh. He was born, and how he lived, and he loved, and he showed us how to live, and he showed us how to love, and he showed us that God is for us, that God loves broken, messed up people like us. And we told him how God offers us relationship through Jesus, an actual relationship that we get to have with God through Jesus. And really, it's that relationship with God that we've been wanting our entire lives. At one point, I told Jeff the parable of the prodigal son, the story that Jesus told about this father who has this son, and the son decides to reject his father and kind of go off and live in rebellion, but eventually decides that he wants to come home. And to his great surprise, his father welcomes him back home with open arms. And I told him how Jesus came to let us know that God is waiting for us, no matter where we've gone, no matter what we've done, and he's waiting for us so he can welcome us back with open arms. And when we have it, when we have that relationship with God, when we come home to him, it changes us. It changes everything. It changes our lives. I told him how since I've come home to God, it's just completely changed my life. One day we were talking, and Jeff said, after hearing us a little bit, he said, "Well, I know that I need something because, man, with all this stuff that's happened to me, it's like my life has caved in on me." And I said to him, I said, I agreed. I said, "Yeah, man, I know. And I said, "Do you want to hear something interesting? You just used a story or an illustration that Jesus used. You just used exactly the same story illustration that Jesus used." And he said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, Jesus told this story once about these two guys, and each guy builds a house. One builds on a foundation of sand, and the other builds on this rock foundation, and then the storms come, because storms always come. And the guy who built his house on rock, well, his house stood firm. And he sat in his house thinking, it's too bad there's a storm outside, but fortunately I'm in this home. But the guy who built his house on the sand, his house collapsed on him. And because of the storms that came, he now found himself homeless." And I said, "Jeff, this is what you just said." And Jeff was like, "I can't believe I told the same story as Jesus." I said, "Look at you, man." He's like, "That's kind of cool." And one day we were talking, and we were about to get up from the table and leave. And Jeff said, "Hey, one more question." He said, "Man, I hear everything you guys are saying. I'm really thinking about it. But what I don't know is, with the loss of my best friend, just everything that's happened to me, I don't know how to get over it. I don't know how to deal with it. How do you deal with it?" And so we talked a little bit about how when you really come home to God, when you have God with you, when he's close to you, it just changes your experience of pain. It changes your perspective on pain. It still hurts, but it just changes things. And then I said this. I said, "Jeff, imagine this. Imagine a playground swing set. There's a kid, maybe 5 years old, who's swinging on this swing really high. And all of a sudden, he flies off the swing, lands on the ground with a big crash, broken arm. He is crying out in pain. Fortunately, his mother is sitting over here on a bench. And so she runs over, she grabs her son, she holds him, she pulls him in close, and she whispers in his ear, "I am so sorry that happened to you, buddy, but you're going to be okay, you're going to be okay." And so the little boy starts to calm down a little bit. She gets him in the car, drives him to the hospital. He sees a doctor. Doctor puts his arm in a cast. Doctor says, "Hey, it's gonna be painful for a little while, a little uncomfortable, but it's going to get better. In fact, you're already on the path to healing." So now, picture same playground, same swing set, different boy, also 5 years old, swinging really high on that swing set. And he goes flying off in the same way. Hits the ground, breaks his arm, starts crying out in pain. But there's one difference, because this boy is homeless. No mom sitting over on the bench. No one to come over and hold him. No one to whisper in his ear, "It's going to be okay." No one to get him to the hospital. No one to make sure he sees a doctor. No cast on his arm. His arm is just going to stay broken, and it's probably not going to get better. And I said, "Jeff, you're that homeless boy. You're that homeless boy. You're in pain, you're crying out, and you have no one to hold you. You have no one to tell you that it's going to be better. You have no path to healing. But what you do have is a God who loves you and who came for you and who is inviting you to come home and into a relationship with him. He wants to be close to you, and he wants to help you with your pain and everything else in life that you're going to go through. But Jeff, he'll only do that if you let him. He can only do that if you let him. And so that's the choice that you have to make, Jeff. Will you let him? Will you let him?" And that's the choice you have to make. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit, but only if you let him. Will you say yes to his invitation to come home? Will you move into a relationship with him? Maybe there's some of you that say, "Man, I'm ready to do that today. Like, I want to come home to God today." And if so, would you let us know of that? You can use the connection card that was on your seat. Just kind of write us a note. We'll contact you. Or you can come. I'll be at the Velcro Bar after the service. I'd love to talk to you about that decision. And if you're not ready, maybe you're like, "No, I'm not there yet." Totally understand that. Totally understand. But don't you think that this is worth pursuing? I mean, if this might be true, if it might be true that there is a God who loves you and came for you and wants to be with you and he wants to help you in every way, including in those broken places in your life, wouldn't you want that? Wouldn't you want that? And if so, but you're just not sure if it's true, well, then find out, right? Ask your questions. Pursue answers. Now, I realize that probably some of you are here because it's Christmas time, right? Somebody dragged you to church. You feel like it's Christmas. You got to go at least once or twice a year. Might as well go on Christmas. And you have no plans on coming back or on having anything to do with this God stuff until next Christmas. I understand that. But I wonder if maybe that's not the best plan for you. You know, maybe this is just too important to ignore or to put off. Maybe instead of coming back next Christmas, maybe you need to be here next week. Why don't you get into the habit of just kind of coming here every week to pursue this God thing and figure out, is this true and is this for me? Is this what I'm looking for? Because I really think that you want this. Because the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and he saves those who are crushed in spirit, but only if you let him. And so that's the choice you have to make. And by the way, that's the choice that Jeff ended up making. A couple of months ago, he chose to come home. To come home to this God who loves him and to the Heavenly Father who had always been waiting for him with open arms. And Jeff began a relationship with God. And that same God is waiting for you. And that's the choice you have to make. It's also the choice I have to make. You know, I said yes to God's invitation a long time ago. And I moved into a relationship with him. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to let him come close to me. It doesn't. And it doesn't necessarily mean that I'll let him come in and help me when I'm crushed in spirit. When I'm hurting, every single time I have a choice. I can still choose to do it and kind of go it alone. And the truth is, I often do. Or I can orient my life around God, and I can grow in my relationship with him. And when my life goes wrong, when I stick my finger in the blender and I'm bleeding and gushing and laying on the floor, God, if I choose, will come close to me. And the healing will begin, and it will get better, and I can have hope. And the same is true for you. You know, maybe you've been kind of sitting there thinking, But I've already said yes to God. I've already moved into a relationship with him. Okay, great. But on a daily basis, are you letting him come close to you? Because it's a choice you have to make every day. And when life goes wrong, do you turn to him and let him come in to save you when you're crushed in spirit? Or do you kind of turn away and do it on your own? You have to make this choice as well. Because, listen, As bad as this life can be, there's still good news. Love is still a gift. Hope still defeats hate. Hope is still stronger than despair. There is still a God who loves us, a God who still answers prayer. His forgiveness is still more powerful than our sin, and his guidance is still greater than human confusion. And the Lord is still close to the brokenhearted and still saves those who are crushed in spirit. And all of this is true because 2,000 years ago, a baby named Jesus was born in a town called Bethlehem. He came into this broken world filled with broken people, and he came because of it. He came for the broken world and for the broken people, people like you and me. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to thank God for that. And then we're going to have the band do a song and give you a chance just to think about what you heard today and how it applies to your life. This song also offers you a chance to take communion if you'd like to do that. Communion is a piece of broken bread and a cup of juice that represent the broken body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus given on the cross for us. Because it's only through Jesus coming for us on Christmas, the baby who came for people and a world broken and in need, and then as an adult giving up his life for us on the cross to become our Savior, that we can have life. Life with God now and forever. So if you'd like to take communion, it's on the tables around the room that are candlelit. And you can get up and you can get the bread and juice, bring it back to your seat. And when you're ready, after you've prayed, you can take that. So let's pray. God, I want to thank you for Christmas. Not for the trees and presents and cookies and decorations and carols and family time, although that's all fun and good. But God, I want to thank you for your choice to send your son to be born, to put on human flesh, to come for broken people like me. God, thank you for your compassion for us. Thank you that you look down on a world that so desperately needed healing, and you offered it through Jesus' birth, and you offer it to us again day after day. God, thank you that as bad as our lives get, every day there's still good news, but we have to choose it. God, my prayer is that every person in this room would choose to let you come close, to come home and to let you come close and save us when we're broken and crushed in spirit. God, we pray all these things in the name of the baby who came for us. In Jesus' name, amen.